Welcome to the Why Don't You Say Something podcast, where we're doing exactly that, saying something about the online coaching, online course world, and spiritual industry, because we're all wondering what the F is going on. I'm Eva, a former yoga teacher and online business strategist, who slowly started to question some of the things that I was learning and teaching myself. I've now come to see the light, and I'm sharing those learnings with you here. In this podcast, we're going to break down some of the red flags we see, hear people's stories and experiences, and offer resources on how you can do business in a bullshit-free way yourself if you are in business. Heads up, as you're listening, I swear a lot, so be careful of your kiddos' ears. Hey everyone, welcome to today's episode, which is, I'm really doing it, aren't I? I'm talking about the top issues in the online coaching, boss babe, spiritually coachy world. We are diving into it. There are 20 issues total. Today we're going to cover the first 10. And in general, these issues came from all of you in the community. I've been asking and talking about for the past 5 months, what are the major issues in the industry? What is really messed up or wrong to you? And I have compiled the top 20 answers, and then now I am ranting and going off about them on the podcast. Today, we're going to dive into the first 10. We're splitting it up into two podcasts. And then the next week, the other 10 will be released, and this will be released to the people in the Patreon crew. It's $3 a month to join the Patreon and get the bonus episodes. My invitation for you as you're listening to the podcast today is two things. To take really good care of yourself, because it's a lot. We're really diving into it. It's a lot. So take good care of yourself. Maybe you take breaks. Maybe you listen in spurts, but notice when you're feeling just overwhelmed and blown out. Secondly, I invite you, I guess, to take what you want and leave the rest. It can feel super overwhelming to think, oh my gosh, do I need to throw my whole business out the window? Or, oh my gosh, have I just been scammed and swindled by every person I've signed up with? I invite you to just take what you want and leave the rest for today. Maybe you focus on just one thing that popped out for you today. Maybe just one thing, because it's really a lot. And if you feel upset or triggered or, hey, that's not true about some of the things that we're talking about today, that's okay too. That's okay too. And I invite you to stick around. You don't have to agree with absolutely every single thing I say. It's not possible. And you don't have to agree with every element of this podcast or of these top 20 issues in order to stay around and be a part of the community and still learn from something and for us all to stay connected. As we dive in, these are numbered, but they're not numbered in any particular order or like from best to worst or anything like that. It's just numbered so that we can refer to them. So, number one, people not having any qualifications or certifications. This is a big issue in the industry, especially when it comes to working with people's lives in a psychological, mental way. All the mindset coaches out there, which I used to be one. So examples of this, of working with someone when you don't have any qualifications or certifications, are helping people uncover their blocks and expand their lives, or helping people to get over their fears, or being a relationship coach or a money coach, things like that. Working with people when you don't have any training or qualifications or certifications is just not cool. Maybe there's a small percentage of people who can get away with it in a good way and do good work because of their life experience, but still, as a whole, nope. And this is one of the biggest things that all of you from Instagram have chimed in on. And I think it's not as big a deal to work with people in different fields when you don't have a certification in that field. When it's something like let's say, email marketing or meal prepping, especially because that's not dealing with someone's psyche. You're not getting all up in there psychologically and supporting them in major aspects of their life. But a lot of these coaches and people are pretending to fucking be therapists whilst shitting on therapists, okay? People are pretending to be therapists and they just aren't. And honestly, a lot of them are not even trained coaches. Number two is people not staying within their scope of practice. So if people are trained or qualified in something in the first place, they're working way beyond their scope of practice of what they are trained in. So let's break down and talk about what a scope of practice is. It can kind of sound like a fancy term, but here's a definition. Scope of practice defines the services a qualified professional is deemed competent to perform and permitted to undertake in keeping with their terms of their professional license. Your scope of practice is the limit of your knowledge, skills, and experience, and is made up of the activities you carry out within your professional role. As a professional, you must keep within your scope of practice at all times to ensure you are practicing safely, lawfully, and effectively. So working with someone as a coach in a field you're not trained in, just because you've gone through it, or because you can share what you would do, or because you know a lot about it, is not the same thing as having the training and the understanding about how to safely and ethically work with someone, especially on their psyche. So when I was trained as a health coach, I was trained to always absolutely refer out when people were having other issues that were beyond my training. It's one thing to talk about self-care and sleep and meal prepping and drinking water, okay? And another thing when someone might be crying to me about an abusive partner. I knew and committed to, as a health coach, that I needed to refer out and help them to say, hey, let's see, who are you working with? Who can you work with to help you on these issues? Because it's not something that I am specifically trained and qualified for. And when you go beyond that, you go beyond that scope of practice and you're bleeding out into it and wanting to be helpful is just where a lot of stuff really goes awry, especially working with someone on their psyche. So coaches who have no training is something to really look at, but especially when you are going way beyond the scope of practice and working with someone on a field that you're not even trained in is just really not cool and not okay. And I think a lot of times people might have good intentions, like, oh, I want to listen and oh, I want to be helpful. And there can be truth to that, but literally being paid to work on something with someone on a field you're not trained in and that is beyond your scope of practice is just not cool, and where a lot of harm can be done, sometimes unintentionally. Number three, selling something that people don't really need. Many of these big business coaches are saying that the world needs your passion and your purpose. They need your gifts. And that's something I used to say and preach, so I'm fully guilty of it. And like, yeah, I mean, in general, I think that's true-ish. But does the world really need people to charge $6,000 for confidence coaching? I don't fucking think so. And if someone does, it's a very small percentage of the population. So rather than looking at what the world or the community really needs, I think that the industry is telling us to choose what we're most passionate about. What would be most easeful for us? Where does it feel just the juiciest? How can we lay in bed? And then we should share that. That's our passion and our purpose. And when we do it from that place and then wonder why people aren't flocking to sign up, wonder why it's crickets, I mean, maybe it's just not that needed. So honestly, it should not be that hard for people to sell what it is that they're offering. I'm going to say that again, and it's such a hard truth, and it may be upsetting and interesting, but I, in my experience and in hindsight looking back, it should not be that hard for people to sell what it is they're offering. And if that is what you're experiencing, it might be reason to pause. And like, yes, let's say you are a swimming teacher and you have swim lessons for your students and you're not getting that many students and you want to branch out. You want to do a different marketing plan. You want to hit up some different schools or something. Yes, totally. I understand that. And in general, it's like, yeah, people want swimming classes so that they are safe in the water, okay? But it should not feel like pulling teeth and having to DM old friends or ask them to work with you and pay you for your mindset coaching and be banging down doors for your work to be working. Where I work currently in social services in a healthcare setting, there are people lining up to come into the facility where I work, and we only have so many beds. It is a huge need in the community for people to have medical care for the issues and experiences they are having. When I see ambulances come in and I'm welcoming people who are just admitted, it's an obvious need of the community. Nobody disputes that. So when I hear coaches teaching on, how to manifest clients, and when I think of the stuff that I used to do and teach you guys, oh my gosh, about, who would your future self be? Just go to that place of that woman in the future who's having 5K paying for clients. What is she doing? Who is she being? How is she dressing? It literally just sounds so outrageous and hysterical and unhinged to me. Because people should not have to work on manifestation in order to have people work in their services. You could turn around and ask your neighbor, your community, what they most need help with, and do that. That can be a gift or a passion too. And honestly, even opening this account has proved that since day one. In my coaching business, I definitely had success and I definitely supported myself for years, but it was not always easy and it was not always ethical. But once I opened this account, this Why Don't You Say Something Instagram account, I had people banging down my door to tell me their stories or ask about resources. It was an obvious need in the community. So here we are. Number four. Shady, unethical marketing practices. Let's talk about the creepy, shady, weird ass stuff that a lot of the business coaches promote or that a lot of businesses do in order to be successful. Things like selling to people's pain points. Are you a lonely loser making no money and nothing works? Well, buy my course. Or things like so much FOMO, the fear of missing out. Just constantly telling people that they're going to miss out if they are not included in this. Pressuring people to sign up. Oh my gosh, how much do we see that? Like DMing them constantly. Now is the time. Following up a million times with pressury emails after a discovery call. Also, another shady practice is psychologically harmful sales. So things like saying, how can you not afford to do this program? I mean, imagine if you don't, and imagine in your life a year from now, how will that feel? Things like that. There are tons and tons of shady, unethical marketing practices that are going down in the industry. And at the end of the day, I think the online marketing tactics have gotten more and more intense, especially in the past few years, because everyone and their brother went online. And at this point, some of them have gotten straight up unethical and are so messed up. And a lot of the success that people are sharing is due to them using and teaching these shady marketing practices. Number five, pyramid scheme vibes. Coaches teaching coaches how to coach coaches to coach coaches. There's a lot of that, and it's very MLM pyramid schemey. Let's first chat about what a pyramid scheme actually is. Here's a quick definition. A pyramid scheme is a fraudulent system of making money based on recruiting an ever-increasing number of investors. The initial promoters recruit investors, who in turn recruit more investors, and so on. The scheme is called a pyramid because at each level, the numbers of investors increases. The definition goes on to say, if the opportunity for income is primarily derived by recruiting more participants or salespeople rather than by selling a product, the plan is probably illegal. So there's big teachers at the top who are teaching other people how to be in business. Then those people go on to teach other people how to coach or how to be in business. And then their students go on to teach the same. And their success and income is only achieved if they get people to enroll in their coaching or in their courses. And this is especially true in the business coaching world. Now, is every coach and is every aspect of the coaching course, the spiritual sign-up-y world included in this? No, of course not. Definitely not. But especially in the business coaching world, it's very much pay me and I'll teach you to have success or make money, which is very pyramid schemey, and everyone is definitely circle jerking and paying each other. It is tool time. It's our time for us to hone in on a tool or a skill or a good thing that helps us find some clarity or some grounding or come back to ourselves. I'm a huge fan of connecting with our body and our breath. Turns out that's a good thing to do. One of the reasons it's a good thing to do is because when you connect with your breath and you're aware of your breath, that's also something that helps your body and your brain know what's going on. So it's a great way to check in with your breath so that that way your body and your brain is like, okay, that's what's going on. Oh, okay, I'll calm down. Or that's what's going on. I'm safe, I'm comfortable. Oh, okay, I'm safe, I'm comfortable. So today we're going to check in with our breath in a super easy way. A lot of times we breathe in a shallow way. I am so guilty of this. We breathe just kind of a little bit lifting our chest, and we're not really breathing down into our belly, all the way down. So I'm going to invite you to close your eyes if you'd like to. And if you're listening as you are driving or doing dishes or something, then of course you can just bring your awareness into your body and your breath. And begin to take a couple full deep breaths on your own. Breathing in through your nose and out through your mouth. And each time that you're filling up through your nose, really send that breath all the way down to your low belly, feeling your belly rise and then fall as you exhale. Once or twice like that, really sending that breath all the way down into your low belly, and feeling the breath rise all the way up through your chest and out. And just notice how you feel here. And you can bring yourself kind of back to opening your eyes and coming back to. And maybe you continue your full and deep breaths, reminding yourself as you listen through the podcast today. Number six. We'll move on to number six. And I'm going to attempt to talk a little slower. Folks, in my mind, I really think I'm talking so slow. But then I hear the podcast back and I'm not. I'm not. Okay, number six is spiritual bypassing. Spiritual bypassing. So, you know, that is the just manifest everything. And everything is happening for you, not to you. Everything is aligning in your favor. So spiritual bypassing can be used to basically like avoid things. Avoid things like doing anti-racism work, for example. And it can also be used as a way to avoid something like, but you're thinking of it in a toxic positivity or magical thinking way. It's using spirituality to bypass and get away from doing the work that needs to be done or feeling the things that need to be felt. and then putting a hashtag blessed or aligned on it. So here's more info and a definition about spiritual bypassing. This came from a psychologist in the 80s, and he coined that term, spiritual bypassing. He says, "Spiritual bypassing is a term I coined to describe a process I saw happening in the Buddhist community I was in, and also in myself. Although most of us were sincerely trying to work on ourselves, I noticed a widespread tendency to use spiritual ideas and practices to sidestep or avoid facing unresolved emotional issues, psychological wounds, and unfinished developmental tasks." So just saying, you know, love and light to everything, that is an example of spiritual bypassing. Just avoiding negative emotions or feelings or topics because it's low vibe. Or believing that all traumas or experiences or circumstances can be easily shifted with mindset work or affirmations, which is something, a trap that I fell into. So here is more examples of spiritual bypassing and some commonly used phrases. This came from a woman named Emily Underworld. Well, her website is emilyunderworld.co.uk, and I liked these examples. Commonly used phrases in spiritual bypassing is good vibes only, okay? Positive mindset only, love and light. You know, when someone's writing a really bitchy Instagram comment and they just say, love and light. Okay. Raise your vibrations. Saying, I don't see color, all lives matter. Saying, you create your reality. Or to focus on the positive. Saying thoughts and prayers. Or that this is all part of the divine's plan. In a nutshell, spiritual bypassing is just promoting being disconnected and out of touch and being ungrounded or checked out and using spirituality to do so in a la-la land kind of way. Number 7 is capitalism. Capitalism. We are all being little capitalists in the online boss babe world. Now, of course, we live in a capitalist society, so it's not something that can just be dropped today, but it's important to know about and understand about the society that we live in right now, which is capitalism. So this is something that I've been learning more and more about the past couple of years. I honestly didn't really know what it meant at all, and I didn't understand how terrible it was. So if you are learning as well, you are welcome here. And also if you have education or wisdom to share about anti-capitalism, please share it over on an Instagram post and tag me. But in a nutshell, you know, capitalism, capitalists, they just care about profit. They don't care about the welfare of workers or like protecting the environment or how something is affecting a whole community or everyone else. They just care about things being profitable. In capitalism, there isn't any room for businesses to be run by morals or ethics or to care about the welfare of society. So when a company just has to care about profits to survive, that is not good. And then essentially rich people just kind of get richer and the poor get poorer. So we need to come up with a way to be able to have our businesses and the way things are run be, equal and serving and available for all, not just helping the rich get richer and the poor getting poorer. There was someone who made a comment or tagged one of my Instagram posts essentially saying, hey, this account is so funny because here's all these white women talking about getting scammed when really they were running their own little capitalistic businesses and then crying that they didn't get the success they wanted or that they were scammed. And yo, there is truth to that. So there's more to get into on this subject. And no, I'm not saying throw all money out the window or be a total like nihilist. And I'm not saying we're just going to go back to bartering shells or something. And I'm not saying that I have all the answers of what to do instead. But in a nutshell, a lot of the online business teachers are teaching us very capitalistic ways of being in business. They are solely focusing on profit, and they are not saying, how does your work, how does your business, how does your income support the community and the world as a whole, and not just you getting rich? It's really a monopoly game that is rigged, and they're telling you, just jump in the game and get ahead and grow boss, and you got it, and it's so easy, just be a little conquistador. And honestly, it's not that easy. They're making it seem like it's so easy when it's not, because they're selling you on something. And then B, people have been running circles on that monopoly game, and they already have the money or the privilege, or they've been in this and that for so long. And then people hopping in on the game now are not even, it's not even remotely fair. And then there's tons of people who cannot hop in on the game at all because they don't have that money or privilege or yada yada. So it's really something to think about. And no, I'm not saying we should just let the whole government run our lives either. We will talk more about this, and I'd love to hear any of your resources on the topic. Number 8 is unethical financial practices. And folks, I gotta take a breath on this one. It gets me so riled up. And gosh, it's probably one of the top things I get messages about and really horrible stories about, is the unethical, unfair, ungrounded financial practices that are going on in the Boss Babe coaching coursey spiritual world. So this means teaching people to do really unsafe, risky things with money. And this is something I'm particularly passionate about because, long story short, there's been a lot of financial trauma in my life and with my family. And I also did a training with a company called The Trauma of Money, which is all about being trauma-informed and our relationship with money, and it really dives deep into a lot of that area. So this one gets me riled up, but these unethical financial practices that are being done and promoted, it can look like some of these things. Teaching people to detach from money. It's just kind of like, wee, money's not real. They're not paying attention to how much they're spending, how much they are investing versus how much they're even bringing in. So many of these Boss Babe businesses run in a negative. It's pretty wild. They're also doing things like teaching people to run a business from a place of debt, saying you have to go into debt, you have to invest big in order to make it, and then they don't make it, and they tell them to invest even more, and it just goes on. This is a really big one, is teaching people to override that genuine fear, those alarm bells that go off in someone's body, in someone's mind, when they're thinking of spending money. And that is a really messed up one. So they're saying, if you're scared, do it anyway. That fear, those butterflies, that's just excitement, girl. That means you're about to up level and just do the thing that scares you the most. All that kind of stuff is absolutely fucked up. And then on another note, when it comes to these unethical, ungrounded financial practices, they are not teaching people how to run a business financially. Any legit, like, financially informed business coach would laugh and just be shocked about all of the things that they tell people to do. So this means, like, not teaching people to save for taxes, not teaching people to plan per quarter, and not even teaching people to have a basic business plan. Not even teaching people to pay themselves or to even have a business savings. I mean, any of that. It is just total quackadoodlery out the window. They're not even talking about that. They just want you to pay them a ton. There's also things like having huge payment plan fees. When I was in my business, I think I charged $200 more for when people were on a payment plan. I didn't know any better. That's just what I was told to do, and I thought that it was standard. I have seen people charge way like high fees, literally $1,000 or $2,000 more when they're on a payment plan. And I have heard that it's unethical to have any kind of change in pricing if someone's on a payment plan. It's not cool to do, and it's not making it accessible and affordable to all. But also I've heard that in some countries that's illegal to do. So just to say, there is a lot of financial abuse, and I mean that word, financial abuse. There's a lot of that going on in the industry, and things are being done in the industry that are unethical and messed up and just not allowed in other industries. Some of that stuff is straight up absolutely illegal, not allowed in other industries, but they are getting away with it because it's an unregulated field. They are going wild with their pictures on Instagram and that PayPal link, and they're just doing whatever the fuck they want. And sadly, I've heard so many stories of people being coached to take money out of their 401k or to use their savings and to lie to their partners. And they do this by telling them to trust themselves and just take the leap and things like that, and telling them that they're going to make so much money back, which does not always happen. And then even if it does happen, it's a lot of times through very unethical practices where people have a lot of shame and guilt about doing what they did. But there's a lot of financial abuse going on, some of it in small ways that maybe you can tweak if you are in business, and some of it in major ways that just absolutely has to stop. We're doing it, you guys. We're doing it. We're almost done. Woo! I know this can be a lot. Whose idea was this? Just kidding. Okay, number 9 is no refund policies. I mean, exactly that. Just a straight up no refund policy whatsoever. That is so messed up. The attitude in the spiritual boss babe coachy coursey world is definitely that the coach and the teacher is always right. You know the saying, the customer is always right? Not that I truly believe that, but it's just funny because it's absolutely the coach is always right. So why is that okay? Like truly, especially when these programs are sold with no guidelines and no expectations of what is going to be received and no breakdowns and no curriculum? No way. Especially also with one-on-one coaching and not having any refunds, that is not okay. Why? Like truly why? Especially with a digital product and not having any refunds available, why can't we give people like 2 weeks for a money back guarantee? Or I haven't really thought more and deeper about what the other options are, but we need to have leeway for refunds. If someone is upset with the coaching services they received or doesn't feel that the digital product was what they expected or it wasn't beneficial, they should have space to voice those claims without backlash and being hated by the entire community. And they should be able to receive a refund or a partial refund. I don't get it. No refund policies are super shady. So, especially when someone signs up for coaching, like one-on-one coaching, and finds that it's not a fit for them and they don't want to continue further, why can't they get their money back? Like what they haven't used? Literally, why? When I was coaching with people one-on-one, there was one time that someone and I decided to stop working with each other and they needed to go receive psychological support, and I refunded them for the rest of the sessions. Why can't people do that? Another example is saying, like, let's say someone signs up for a program and is in it for a few weeks or a month, maybe a $3,000, $1,000, I don't know, whatever, course where it's Facebook Lives and they're diving into the modules. And let's say a couple weeks or a month in, they don't want to continue and it doesn't feel like a fit for them. And they don't want to stay in the rest of the months or the rest of the 5 months, and they don't want the content and the coaching anymore. Why can't they get some of their money back? Why aren't we open to refunds? That is shady as fuck. And number 10, no feedback allowed. You are not allowed to share a grievance or speak up or have an opinion if you are in their course or their program or their coaching. Get it together. So number 10, no feedback allowed. There's no place for sharing feedback or sharing your grievances when working with a coach or a teacher or in a course or a program. If the coaching was not what you thought it would be, or it's not a match for you, if you find that something is unhealthy to you or just really not okay, you know, the list could go on, there's no place to share that. There is no place to share that. If you do speak up, literally, like, where? What are the options? To the Facebook group, make a comment there, or to email them? That's like the only options, right? Or to write on their Instagram. And then if you do, you are shunned and deleted from the communities. You are shunned from the group. Oh, you dissenter. Or you are seen as negative. Or you are blocked and deleted from the communities. I have heard so many stories of people speaking up in programs that they have fully paid for. And I've heard different stories. Sometimes it's simple feedback about, hey, the modules are super confusing because they're only linked off randomly into Dropbox folders. How am I supposed to keep track of this? People have spoken up saying simple things like that to much bigger issues. And I have heard that they are blocked and deleted from the coach's Instagram, from the Facebook groups, from the communities, and from the programs they have paid for. They are even blocked from the programs they have paid for. What? Wait, what? That is just truly wild to me. And then on the other end of it too, if you do write an email expressing your concern or an issue or some feedback, they just psychologically manipulate you and tell you you're seeing things wrong or you're being negative, things like that. Folks, I don't know what the answer is on this note, but it is a huge one that when people speak up or share a grievance or have some simple feedback, they are blocked and harassed and bullied, and that has to stop. Let's review, shall we? Let's review the horror. Number one, we have people not having any training or qualifications. Number two, working outside of the scope of practice. Number three, selling something that people don't need. Number four is shady marketing practices. Number five, we have pyramid scheme vibes. Number six is spiritual bypassing. Number seven is capitalism. Number eight is shady financial practices. Number nine, no refund policies. And number 10, no feedback allowed, thank you. In next week's episode, we're going to dive into the other 10. Some of them are things like being obsessed with gurus, not being trauma-informed, not having diversity or inclusion, breadcrumbing people, price gouging, and more. Thanks for listening and for being here and for caring. If something resonated with you today, please leave a comment over on any Instagram post and I can see it there. I would love to hear what resonates. Reminder that I have a boundary that my DMs are just super full and I cannot read them all. If you do want to share an anonymous story, an anonymous experience, anonymous something that really resonated for you today, that is a good reason to DM me and I can fish through and find it there. So you can DM me and share what you'd like and let me know that you want to remain anonymous. And you can also join my Patreon for $3 a month and get bonus close friend stories over on Instagram stories. And then you'll also receive part two of this episode today, which will be the next 10 issues in the industry, because there's more. Once a month, Patreon people are getting a bonus episode. Thanks for supporting, and I'm going to roll the outro. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. For more, you can find me on Instagram at why don't you say something, or at my website, evacollins.com. If you want to tag me on Instagram with something you enjoyed or learned, I would love that because it makes me feel like I'm not just talking to myself alone here in a vacuum. reminder, my DMs are super full and I just can't get to everyone, but if you would like to connect with me and send a note or share some feedback, you can email me at eva@evacollins.com. Thanks and see you on the next one.